Happy Tuesday, the day of double blessings, everyone. I'm Dave Butler.
I'm Stephen Tager.
Welcome to Revival, the Good News Podcast. We're so happy that you're here. I feel like I'm in a reporter's voice right now, and so I'm going to just exit out of that and come into the regular old me. If you're new here, we talk about the good news headlines of the gospel. Gospel means good news, so I just repeated myself practically. The good news headlines of the good news is what I just said. Every episode drops on Tuesday because in the book of Genesis, Tuesday, God says it's good twice. So some refer to that day as the day of double blessings. Stephen, how are you, by the way? We haven't even heard your voice. Oh, you said I'm Stephen, but people don't think you're real right now.
I am real, and I feel great. The weather outside is wonderful today.
Yeah, it's so good.
Do you like fall or spring better?
Spring.
Really? So you would rather
have false. Hold on. That's a trick question.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you like the trees when they're turning, when they have the popcorn on?
Yeah, yep.
Over the yellow and the orange and the red?
Yeah, because it's ominous. It says winter's coming, but the popcorn says you about to get your flip-flops out. Spring is coming. I mean, summer. So even though spring tricks you and it's going to be icy tomorrow, but I like the anticipation because when I see the fall ones, I'm like, oh, those are pretty. But what that means is I'm about to be cooped up. So I don't know what that makes me, a pessimist or a whatever mist.
I don't mind winter, except in January and February.
But those are like the only months of winter. You just said, I like Christmas and hate winter is basically what you just said.
But I can't decide if March is actually worse than January and February because March...
March madness.
March, yeah, that's fun. But March, you always think, oh, it's going to get warm. And it never does in Utah.
Yeah, it tricks you.
It tricks you.
Yeah, it's a trick. It's a catfish. Okay, today, you guys, we follow a schedule of conference talks to kind of guide the discussion. And we pick... from those talks, our three best headlines, just the best good news one-liners that are from those talks. You can get the schedule at goodnewsbrandco.com or go to the Instagram account. You can find it on there. There's a lot that can help you find, like the schedule of the order of the talks that we go through. So today, though, we're using President Nelson's talk, but we're also taking his invitation to study Section 109, and we're picking our headlines from... this is a prize. We don't know. We don't know who. We may have picked the same one. There's a prize on the day that we picked the same one. But we picked from 109 and or from President Nelson's, the second half of his talk. So, okay. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. You go first.
You want me? Okay.
You went first last time and it's fine.
It's fine.
It's a good pattern.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, I did the intro.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number three comes from Section 109.
Oh, I forgot. You go 3, 2, 1. Okay. Go ahead.
Verse 23. Real quick.
This is kind of like Battleship because you almost hit mine. Okay, go ahead.
I'll put the mist a little white. Yeah,
you missed.
Okay, so if you're not too familiar with our faith tradition, in the 1830s, the Latter-day Saints built something they called the House of God, later called the Temple, and it's a restoration of temple worship. Mm. It was this big event in March where we dedicated the temple to God and for his use. And it says in Section 109, verse 23, "And from this place, they, the servants of God, may bear exceedingly great and glorious tidings."
Stop. Why don't we rename good news that?
The great and glorious tidings?
Yes. You know, that's good news tidings, right?
Great and glorious tidings brand.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It says, "In truth, unto the ends of the earth, that they may know that this is thy work, and that thou hast put forth thy hand to fulfill that which thou hast spoken by the mouths of the prophets concerning the last days." Mm. So again, if you're not familiar with our tradition, basically what the restoration is saying all of the promised blessings in the Bible are now being fulfilled in these latter days. And we're seeing the fulfillment of a lot of biblical prophecy, right? That's sort of one of the major projects of the restoration. And these missionaries, it was known pretty early on that they would have to be these missionaries who would go out and say the Christianity and all of the biblical promises are being restored in full. As people went out and announced that, they would have to be endowed with power from on high. And so they go to the temple to get that endowment of power, right? Mm. And it shows up in a lot of different ways. But here's where I think it's relevant for us today is that, yes, we go to the temple to be comforted and to experience the grace of God and to feel closer to him. But there's also an element of temple where the most important part of it, or at least a very important part of it, is what we do after we leave. And so we walk out trying to declare the good, the great and glorious tidings. Mm-hmm. That's what we do, is we go tell the world. And so when I go to the temple, it allows me to refocus, center on what's most important, and then go back out into the world and help people love God and love others.
I like 109 uses words in another verse. I can't remember, like the incomings and then the outgoings. That's what that's kind of reminding me of.
Right, just, right. Yes, yeah.
And that might not be what the verses are referring to. I don't know, but I just love the idea of the outgoings.
Right.
That when you leave this house, you know.
Yeah.
That you'll be, it'll be reflective that you've been in it.
Right, right. And when it says that thy servants, I'm sorry, that they bear exceedingly great and glorious tidings, it's one thing to say, I'm going to leave the temple and be more disciplined in my spiritual habits, which is great and fine. It's another thing to say, I'm going to go out and tell people the good news, mm-hmm. to have an outward mindset with my temple worship, to go to the temple and then say, how can I then go be a blessing to my family and friends and my neighborhood and to other people and bear the good tidings of great joy?
It's reminding me of that line from Mosiah 18, to stand as a witness of God at all times. And maybe not just a witness that he lives, but you can be a living witness of, look what happens when he gets in you. Mm. What happens to your confidence? What happens to your mind and heart? I don't know if you're going to use this paragraph ever for one of yours. I don't. The one about ketivision?
Yes.
You are?
But
I'm going to save my thought.
Okay.
I don't want to give you a battleship. Got it. I'll save it. Okay. The headline I left, P.S., let's just say this, because headlines simply won't do with Section 109. They won't do with any of these talks. So hopefully you'll go back and you'll listen and you'll study, and it just will like just kind of whet your appetite a little bit for what's here, because it was terrible to try and pick headlines from 109. Terrible. When you talk about the fulfillment of biblical promises, like 109 is such a great spot to find a grand collection of them.
That's such a good word. It is grand and epic. Joseph Smith was a farm boy from upstate New York.
Who had the audacity. Yeah.
Right. And the Lord called him to do this. And you just get a tiny sense of his vision, right, that the Lord gave him for this work in the latter days. Section 109, there's no better word for it than epic. It's huge.
Yeah.
It is much bigger than our puny little to-do list that we have to worry about today.
Yeah, right? It needs a score to it, a musical score. We need to find a musical score to read 109 to. It'll probably come from Lord of the Rings, like Return of the King, or it'll come from something like that, because it needs a musical score.
Someone needs to write a score for all of the chapters and sections in the Doctrine and Covenants. That's what someone needs to do.
Yeah, it captures the mood of them. And just, okay. What about when Joseph loses the papers? What will be the score? I picked Steven Nelson, who plays the piano from Gentry, who's the most musical genius person on the planet currently.
Wow.
He could do it. Okay. In like a night.
Steven, you have been asked.
You've been
invited.
Yeah. What number three, or whatever you say, is in verse 13. I've always loved this verse so much. From the very first time I read section 109, it says this, and that all people who shall enter upon the threshold of the Lord's house may feel thy power and feel constrained to acknowledge that thou hast sanctified it and that it is thy house, a place of thy holiness. And I, in practical sense, have just experienced a fulfillment of that promise so many times when I've crossed the threshold of that place and felt like this is different. And there's numerous accounts, you know, of people who have walked into that building or onto the grounds and said, I feel a sense of something majestic here. What is it? Some will ask. And I think that is really remarkable. But what I also love about this is just the reminder that you would only have to be on the threshold of the Lord's house to experience his power and his grace. It's so big and it emanates so wide and so far that you can brush up against it and begin to heal it. It reminds me of the woman who reaches out and touches just the threads on the edge of the robe of Jesus, and a difference is made. She just brushes up against him and she finds healing. I love that reminder that he's so good and he's so magnificent and his power so great. All you would have to do is brush up against him to experience a change in your life, in your perspective, in your circumstances. And then I would then say, if that is true, imagine what a fullness might look like. Imagine if you immersed yourself in that same power.
That's beautiful. And that's why we use the resources to create these wonderful buildings, because the painting, the art, everything about it, the architecture, it's supposed to invoke a feeling for us. But anyone who's been there knows it goes beyond just, oh, this is a pretty building.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the presence of God. And just a little bit of that, I don't know about you, but as a missionary, we would sometimes bring people just to walk around the grounds of the temple.
Mm.
And that in and of itself helps, like what you're saying, Dave, like helps people sense the power that's in that building.
Yeah, yeah. And it's awesome that you can enjoy it on that very day, in addition to anticipating, you know, something more.
Right.
Both of those. You can experience an anticipation, an expectation, and a fulfillment of it all on the same day.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So my second one.
I think I won that one. I'm just kidding. Lord, root out of me this competitive spirit.
Okay, so my second one is, before I read it, a lot of our worship in the restoration is based on an auditory experience. We hear talks, right? We hear the sacrament prayer. We sing music. But the temple is much different. So this is from President Nelson's talk, Rejoice in the Gift of Priesthood Keys. Is that okay if I use stuff from that talk as well?
I'm gonna.
Okay, great. So he says this, time in the temple will help you to think celestial and to catch a vision of who you really are, who you can become, and the kind of life you can have forever. Regular temple worship will enhance the way you see yourself and how you fit into God's magnificent plan. I promise you that. So the temple is a very visual experience, actually, right? And both in the sense that the way we participate in the ordinances, but also the vision that God gives us of how he sees us and how we see the eternities and what our life will be like there as well. In fact, I've quoted this before earlier on in an earlier episode, but James K.A. Smith, he says, the way into the heart is through the body, and the way into the body is through story.
Mm.
And the temple is a visual experience of the story of God for our lives.
Yeah. I dug that, really love that line, a vision of the kind of life that you can have.
Mm.
And I found this reference to an instruction that David O. McKay was giving to missionaries before they were about to embark on their first temple experience. He's talking about the washing and anointing ordinance, and he says, let your spiritual eyes see the significance of that anointing. He called it a little simple ceremony. And then you'll realize what it means to be initiated in the house of God. To have in your heart, as young people, the spirit of emulation, the realization that anything which any other man or any other woman has accomplished, you may, through the help of God, also accomplish. You know what that means to the human soul? If you do not, then listen to what a young girl said down here in one of our institutions recently. Discouraged and downhearted and despondent, she said to her attendant, "Leave me alone. Nobody cares for me. Emulation, dead. No place in the world for her," so she thought. That is the depth to which a person through discouragement may fall, and many have so fallen. But not so with one who's anointed to become a king and priest of the Most High, a queen and priestess in the realms of God. Now that is what it means. I don't know how long it will take you or me to achieve that, but we are anointed that we may become such. Do not shut your eyes to the glories and open them to the mechanics that seem so simple and are performed so awkwardly sometimes. With these, and then it says this, the prophet said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor."
Wow, President McKay, preach.
Yeah, that's what I think it means. And he says at another spot in his talk as well, this idea of what does it do to increase your confidence?
Right.
You will live your life differently with the promises tucked away inside your heart that you receive in the temple.
And it's not a self-help confidence. It's not, you know, it's something that's because it's connected to God. It's the vision that God has for us,
right,
and endowed with his power.
Right.
That's what makes it different from all of the kind of other resources we can get in this world.
He speaks it over us.
Right. Right.
Right? It's not, because who's, you know, I like that President McKay even quotes that, where he's just, that scripture, he's just like, what is man that you would be this mind? Like,
right,
it will lead you to have this sense of like wonder and mixed with humility that for me, you know, and he says, yes, for you, the God in heaven has spoken it.
Wow.
Okay, my second headline, mindset, verse 21 from 109. And when thy people transgress, any of them, that little like phrase separated by commas is just a way of just leveling the playing field. That when thy people transgress, any of them, because it happens to all of them, they may speedily repent and return unto thee and find favor in thy sight and be restored to the blessings which thou hast ordained to be poured out upon those who shall reverence thee in thy house. And I like that one of the messages that we're meant to get in that holy house is how desperately the Father wants you there. And if you've transgressed in a way that makes you unprepared or unfit to enter, he says, you could speedily turn around, change, and come back in, and let the blessings again be poured out upon you. So obviously that first part I love, but I also love that idea of a pouring out. You get that sense in 109 and 110, that God is not sprinkling or dusting you with this forgiveness, grace, power. He is pouring it out by the bucket load.
Fantastic. Awesome. Powerful. Absolutely. Okay, ready for my number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is be mine.
This is section 109, and I'll start in 75. When the trump shall sound for the dead, we shall be caught up in the cloud to meet them, that we may ever be with the Lord, that our garments may be pure, that we may be clothed upon with robes of righteousness, with palms in our hands, and crowns of glory upon our heads, and reap eternal joy for all our sufferings. I want to say this cautiously and carefully, but based on that David O. McKay quote, in a sense, the temple experience is a coronation day. It's a sacred coronation day.
Mm.
In fact, if you're outside of our tradition, if you remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about people becoming kings and priests unto God. And we use a language that includes both genders, kings and queens, priests and priestesses. I don't have the language to describe that the king of Israel, what he wants to do is make us kings in his kingdom.
Mm.
That quite literally, he wore a crown of thorns so that he could give us, quote, crowns of glory upon our heads. That he wore the mocking purple robe so that we could be clothed upon with the robes of righteousness. That he took nails in his palms that we could have hold palms in our hands to worship him. The world history has taught us, a human's job is just to submit to the will of kings and those who have power. But our king is very different. Yes, we submit to his will, but in that process, he makes us kings and queens in his kingdom.
Mm. It's astounding. I think meant to fill you with a sense of wonder and awe and too good to be true. All of the, if we're catching the right vision, I think that's what we walk away with is that, who, me? Why? You know? It's a testament to the goodness and glory of God that he would share in such a thing with people like us. And this kind of leads a little bit to something I was thinking about. My number one one was number 22, verse 22. And it says this, and we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with thy power, and that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory be round about them, and thine angels have charge over them. I think it might be particularly talking about my servants going forth, you know, to preach the gospel in other places. But each of us are his servants, which means this promise is to each of us who enter that house and then leave it with his name upon us, armed with his power, with his glory round about us, and his angels having charge over us. President Nelson said about that, How much does it increase your confidence to know that as an endowed woman or man, armed with power of God, you do not have to face life alone? What courage does it give you to know that angels really will help you? That you are being endowed and gifted in order to face mortality. It can be so dark. It can be so hard. It can be so discouraging. It can be so frustrating. And so God is compensated in this miraculous and marvelous way to give us the strength, the encouragement, and the hope-filled hearts to face whatever it is that we're going to face. It's remarkable.
I love that. And in connection with that phrase, and thy glory be round about them. I mean, Jesus bore the shame and all of the pain and sin of this world and the mocking of this world so that we could share in his glory.
Yeah.
And when you go to the temple, that's where you start to fully experience and receive that his glory will be around us and upon us.
Yeah. My oldest son, Jack, go and receive, make promises and receive promises in the temple for his very first time. And I wrote this little thing about it. And it was interesting because I wrote it on my Instagram and the perspective that I had felt so holy and so sacred that I hesitated to do it. But I did it anyways because I wanted to praise God for what I had just witnessed happening. And this is what I wrote.
Can I say something really quick?
Yeah, please.
I've known you for a long time, Dave. I want everyone to know that his ability to write is complete grace. I've been with him in the room where God has really given him a gift. And he does not have the work ethic to back it up. I'm just kidding. Dave's a really hard worker. But I just, this is one of my favorite things that you've written.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh. It's really powerful.
Well, let me read it and then I'll say. I skip right over the things you're supposed to say. When someone asks why I like Christmas, I go right to it. Gifts, presents, ribbons, stockings, bows. It's my favorite part. And I really do like getting them. But not as much as I like giving them. And I'm not just supposed to say that. But as I've grown older and my realization has awakened, I've decided what I love most is watching my kids open theirs, which is exactly what happened last night when I sat front row to the love of God. And I watched him do what he does best, give gifts, this time to my son, who was himself a gift to me. And I watched God wash him with blessing and anoint my boy with power and quite literally wrap him up in promise. My heart says thank you to a God who's been so good to me, but it sings when I see how good he is to those who hold the VIP spots in my soul. I'm humbled to be such a recipient. I'm honored to be welcomed into such covenant bliss. I shout hallelujah to him who gives so liberally. This is at the top of why I choose to live restored Christianity, a descendant and heir in the house of Israel. And we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with power, and that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory be round about them, and thine angels have charge over them. When I watched Jack become a recipient of the promises and blessings we see in section 109, it just awakened my eyes and heart and soul to a little more to how gracious and good God is to every single one of us to put his houses on this earth, to welcome us with such enthusiasm, to come in, share, and live life side by side with him and all the holy angels. It's just it's a thrill. It's a thrill. And it's a reason I am paying for that boy to be out every single month, because I share that, what are the words, those great and glorious tidings with everybody else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not much more you can say than that. That's at the heart of restored Christianity. The whole thing climaxes in the love of God manifested through the temple, which is inseparably connected with the love of God as manifested through Jesus in Gethsemane and Golgotha.
Right, right. The sufferings paid there were that each of us might
right.
enjoy what it is he's gifting.
Right. He became a king in that moment in this horrifically ironic mocking so that we could become kings and queens in his kingdom.
That's good news. That's reviving. That's a good day of double blessing.
Amen.
Okay, we will see y'all next week.